in your Bible, Psalm number 71. Psalm number 71, and I messed everything up today, I guess. I tried to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, and I jumped out of both of our series. We're in sermon series on Sunday morning and on Sunday evening. And last week, we kicked off a new series entitled Upward, Developing a Deeper Love for God. It goes along with our annual theme, Developing Our Love for the Lord. And we jumped out of it this morning to look at Job and holding fast. The Bible said in Job chapter 2, verse 3, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. And that's where we took our text from. And we talked about holding fast through the fire, how to stay faithful through the trials of life. And we looked at the life of Job this morning. Tonight, we should be in 1 Corinthians 13. We're trying to finish up a series that we started back in September of last year, I think, and we've had a whole lot of stuff happening on Sunday nights since then. I think we've only been in it 9 or 10 weeks, and I'm ready to be done. We're almost done. I know where we're headed for the next. We have maybe two more messages in it, and I thought tonight might be the last or second to last, but we've probably got two more Sundays in it because we're not going to be in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to be out of our series tonight. Another two passages this week that I was reading in Job and in Psalms that kind of captured my heart. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to develop a message from them and bring it to you tonight. And this evening, we sang that song. By the way, I meant to mention Todd and Jessica Nadosik. I said it this morning, but in case you were out serving, they had a baby boy. And Todd and Jessica Nadosik, their third child, what a wonderful family they are in our church. And if you have their number, maybe text them and congratulate them. And we'll look forward to meeting. He's a precious, I don't know if boys are supposed to be beautiful, but when they're that little, I guess they can be beautiful, right? And he's a handsome boy, just a perfect-looking little guy. I saw him at the hospital yesterday. Valen Todd Nadosik is his name. And that name has some real meaning within their family. And so we're excited for them. We sang just a few minutes ago, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I'm going to bring a message to us entitled Lifelong Christianity. And I don't say this humorously because I talked a little bit about the length of my message last week when Brother Sammy was interpreting. But I do think tonight's message will be a little on the shorter side. But I believe there's some helpful and powerful truths from Psalm number 71. Really, there's just two verses we're going to focus on. But we're going to read a few more by way of getting the context of the passage. We're going to begin in verse number 5, talking about lifelong Christianity. The psalmist writes in Psalm number 71, verse number 5, it says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my what, church? From my youth." Notice that there, from my youth. "By thee have I been holding up from the what? From the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Verse 9. "Cast me not off in the time of," what does it say there? "Cast me not off in the time of what? Old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt." Verse 14. "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." I like that. As life moves along and as enemies multiply, he said, "I will hope continually. I will praise thee more and more." Verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." I believe, of course, that's talking about all day. But I think in context of this passage, he's talking about seasons of life. When he says all the day, I believe he's speaking there figuratively about for my life. All the day. It's going to be all that I do. It's going to be who I am for a lifetime throughout the seasons of life. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, thy salvation, all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Again, that's another reason I think he's talking. I don't know how many days I have. I think he's talking about I'm going to give you my whole life. Verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." And here these next two verses will be our text verses this evening. Verse number 17 and then 18. Would you read them aloud with me? Ready? Begin. "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." We see here, and we see in verse number 14, he says, I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. That song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. He says, the older I get, the more I'm going to praise you. I'm going to hope in you continually. I'm going to praise you more and more. I'm not looking to say, well, man, I was really on fire for God in my 20s or my 30s or my 40s or wherever you are. But the older, the longer you give me, the more I'm going to love you and the more I'm going to live for you and the more I'm going to praise you and the more I'm going to hope in you. And he lays out in these two verses, I believe, a plan for a lifetime living for God. I'm here on a Sunday night, and there are many churches in America that don't have Sunday nights for whatever reason, and maybe you're stopping that or whatever it might be. You're folks that have made a priority of God's house. I think everyone in this room was already in church once today. You were here on a Sunday morning. You decided to go home and maybe get a short nap, try to get a bite to eat, get back to church on a Sunday night. I would say that you have a desire to live a lifetime for God. I know that's one of my desires, to be faithful unto death. I want to live a lifetime to him. I want to hear, as Paul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we're going to do that, I see here kind of three sections of life that we see in Psalm number 71. There are three sections of life that we ought to seek to live for God. I see number one, our youth. Notice verse number 17. What does he say? If we're going to have a lifelong Christianity, he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Now, I understand that God saves people when they're adults, and I'm thankful for that. We baptized two, a brother and a sister this morning. Their family came to Christ this past summer. They came, their parents are here, Juan and Olga, and they came to Christ this last summer. I'm thankful that God saves adults, but for the most part, in fact, statistics tell us that 85% of people who come to Christ do so before age 18. The years of our youth are extremely formative. Extremely important in setting the direction of where we're going to go, in planting the seeds of who we're going to be. And now I'm thankful that God's grace is strong enough that no matter how bad your youth was, that God can overcome that. And there are people here that were saved as adults. I'm not trying to say if you didn't come to Christ as a child that you can't live for God. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that we ought to make it a goal to see young people come to Christ and live for Christ. D.L. Moody said, the great evangelist said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children. In the race, it's been said, to win a child's heart, in a race to a child's heart, the first one there wins. That's a powerful statement. In the race to a child's heart, the first one there wins. What are we allowing to capture our children's hearts? God should have a major part in the life of a child. Their youth is a time to learn, a time to grow, a time to study, a time to serve, a time to praise. What did he say in verse number 5, in the second half of verse 5? Thou art my trust from my youth. What did he say in verse 6? By thee have I been holding up from the womb. What did he say in verse number 17? O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Our teen years, our elementary years, those years that we would call the youth, are a wonderful time to truly begin to develop a relationship for God. If we're going to have lifelong Christianity, especially for those that are youth in the church, if you're going to live for a lifetime and not follow all of the statistics that when you graduate from church, this percentage goes off and never goes to church again, and we all know those statistics, that many that grow up in the church, what happens? I believe one of the reasons is because this thing of Christianity doesn't become real in the youth. I'm not talking about they don't get saved when they're young people. I'm talking about a deeper relationship, a love, communion, fellowship with God. This idea of knowing God and serving God and having a passion for God doesn't happen in the youth. Our youth is a wonderful time to find salvation. The Bible says, faith as a little child. It's a wonderful time to find salvation. Youth is a wonderful time to begin to grow in spiritual graces. Youth is a wonderful time to learn the joy of service. The world tells young people, your teen years are for you. Have as much fun as you can. Find as much pleasure as you can. Try this. Experiment with that. Find as much entertainment as you can. That's not what the Bible teaches. He says, God, thou hast taught me from my youth. My youth were given to knowing more about you, to growing in you, to learning who you were. And by the way, as young people come to know God, they'll find out the joy of service. Brother Ryan, I don't know where he went. We took the young people. I didn't take them. Brother Ryan and some of our youth workers and some parents took the young people over to to the rescue mission to Skid Row over in downtown L.A., very rough part of town, and a place that ministers to homeless, preaches the gospel to them a couple times per day, gives them hot meals and a place to stay, and their youth activity. Here was the activity. And we think of youth activity has got to be this fun thing. We're going to go to the rescue mission and serve. And you know, Brother Ryan told me when he came back, he said it was amazing. He said, maybe one of the greatest activities we've ever had that I've been a part of here at Liberty Baptist Church. And he said, here's the amazing thing. You know, we try, and Brother Ryan, he's a good youth pastor, Mr. Maris, love our young people, and they do a great job. He said, we try to make things fun and have an activity, and we're going to entertain this. You got to come. We're going to go here. We're going to go do this. And we have the all-nighter, whatever it might be, all these things. And he said, you know what happens a lot of times when we're trying to entertain them? He said, there'll be some that'll, is this all we're doing? Not all of them, but there might be a teenager. This is kind of boring. What's next, Brother Ryan? This is it. Oh, come on. And there might, he said, you know what? We got to the rescue mission. There was not one complaint the entire time. There was not one young person. What's next? There was not any. It was, can I mop? Can I serve? Can I work on the food? Can I go clean the kitchen? Can I fold the clothes for the thrift shop there? Can we go out on the sidewalk and sweep and take out the trash and mop the floors and whatever it might have been? And he said, you know what? The young people had a blast. Why? They're learning the joy of living a life that is outward, not inward. Learning the joy of service. Youth is a wonderful time of that. What did Paul say when he was speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, Timothy, keep doing what you've learned. He's talking to an adult man now. He's talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. But Timothy would be, I guess, what we might call maybe, we don't know, maybe 20s, 30s, maybe what we call middle age. And he's or entering middle age. And Paul's talking to him and said, continue thou in what you've learned. But then he says, when did you learn it? The next verse says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in a salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that I learned to read my Bible daily and begin to understand it as a fifth grade boy. Now, I didn't understand everything, but I can remember sitting at a little desk in our home. We had just been saved for a few months, and I heard my pastor challenge, you ought to read the Bible, and you ought to read it daily. And he had a saying, he would say, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And so I started reading a proverb, and I can remember getting a little ruler out and underlining in that first Bible. I still have that Bible in my office, and finding my life verse that if somebody asked me, would you sign my Bible so I can pray for you, the verse that I'll write under there, I found as a fifth or sixth grade boy reading my Bible, Titus 2:12-15, really, but Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I committed that verse to memory as a fifth or sixth grade boy sitting at a desk in my room there in Campbell, California. I'm thankful that I learned that as a young person. I'm thankful that my mom had me in Sunday school every week after we got saved and began to go to church. I'm thankful that she sacrificed as a single mom to put me in the Christian school from sixth grade on up. And I'm thankful that she made a commitment to be in church three times per week as I was growing up. And every special meeting that the church had, she made it a priority. Why? She was teaching me something about a lifelong Christianity as a young person. She was busy. Work was busy. She was working extra hours. She was trying to provide and put her son as a single mom through the Christian education, which was not cheap, and all the things that young people are involved in. But I'm thankful she made God's house a priority. Is it any wonder now that God has allowed, there are now four generations of our family. Less than 30 years ago, none of us were in church, and now there are four generations. Why? I believe there was a mom that made a priority for when we were young people to make a priority of God. I'm grateful that my mom got involved in soul winning and visitation, and we began to serve on a bus route when I was an elementary boy. Less than a year after we started into the church, we got involved and started getting plugged in service. What was happening there? I didn't know it at the time, but as a young person, I can remember now going as a fifth grade boy and a sixth grade boy, going and inviting people to church and telling people about Jesus and going on a bus route and inviting and bringing people in and having big days and seeing people get saved and working in this event and going here and doing those things. And God began to work in the life of a young person. I can remember missionaries that came through at missions conference when I was in fifth or sixth grade. What was happening? There were seeds being planted for lifelong Christianity. Why? Because my mom made that a priority. May I challenge? This is twofold. One, for parents. The youth is a time for God to teach. Thou hast, what did he say here? Thou hast taught me from my youth. May I say to young people, the teenagers that are here, especially elementary age students that are here, your youth is a time to get to know God for yourself. to get serious about the Christian life, to begin to read His Word, to memorize His Word, to study His Word, to, when you hear preaching, ask God to speak to you and to make decisions and to get into God's Word and know what it means for you and give God your whole life. This thing of Christianity is not just something that your parents make you do through your high school years. If it's real, it's something that we should give ourselves for a lifetime. I want first-generation Christians in this church, but I don't want just first-generation Christians. I want first-generation and second-generation and third-generation. Why? What does that show? There are people that are living lifelong Christianity. In our lives, myself included, we challenge our kids and involve our kids in so many areas in the formative years of their life during their youth, don't we? In education. Do we challenge our kids to excel in education? Sure we do. If they're going to take an SAT or an ACT and we get them in those classes and study, and did you do your homework? And we believe they can excel academically, and they can. And we challenge them there, and we believe that they can excel athletically. And our kids, just the last 6 months, have been involved in sports for about the last 6 months in our school teams. And so I'm not preaching against youth sports. We offer it through our school. I've had my kids in leagues. I've run leagues before for youth sports leagues. But we believe that children can excel athletically. And we'll get them in leagues, and we'll get them in lessons and private coaching and doing all of those things. And we challenge them in these important years to excel in that area of athletics. And this is a big one in our area. You drive by any field on the weekend, and they're full from morning until night. And we're challenging our kids in those areas, and we'll challenge them in the area of getting a job and working and learning to earn money. And last night we had, as I mentioned, that speech and debate, and we'll challenge them to grow. And those kids are very impressive. I was a part of it a little bit judging last year, and to see them stand up and defend their faith and speak publicly and do those things. And we'll challenge, you can stand in front of a group of adults and speak, and we'll challenge them to grow in the skills of public speaking or in critical thinking or in debate and those types of things. And we should. And we'll challenge them in the area of music and get them lessons. And we'll challenge young people in the area of technology. And you can learn coding. And here's this robotics camp. And you can do, and that's great. We'll challenge them in the area of sciences. But how much challenging are we doing in the spiritual areas of their lives? I have to take inventory. We were involved in youth sports 4 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday for 6 months. And I had a blast. I loved it. But am I putting that much effort? If not, if I can give that kind of commitment to any area, whether it's the sports, the finances, the academics, the music, I can give that commitment. But then when it comes time to get involved down at the church, when it comes time as a family maybe to pray together, when it comes time to do those things, if that falls below, what are we doing? We're planting seeds of priorities in our young children's lives, and we wonder why when they graduate, they value finances and athletics and academics and achievement and career more than the things of God. What happened? In their youth, they learned some things, but they weren't learning of God. They were learning, we as the parents, we set priorities of a whole other thing. Lifelong Christianity, it starts in the youth. And yes, we should challenge our kids in every one of those areas, but we also ought to challenge our kids in faithfulness to God and to His house and involvement in service and maybe sacrificial giving and teaching them what it is to be a faithful giver. And hey, maybe you want to give to missions in this area. As a young person, letting them see that God blesses them with resources so that they can use it for the good of someone else. What's happening? Again, the race to a child's heart, whoever gets there first wins. What's getting to my children's hearts as the priority of their life? What am I putting on the pedestal of their lives? Here's what's most important. I don't know that it always is, but I want it to be the things of God. I need to take inventory. And young people, you need to take inventory. In your youth, this is not I'll get serious about God when I graduate high school. The Bible's so hard to understand, and I don't know, I can't really make a difference, and I can't be in service. Oh, absolutely. What did the Bible say about Josiah? I love this little phrase. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the Lord. Josiah was 8 when he became king. 8 years later, when he was 16, the Bible says, and Josiah, he didn't have anybody telling him to, by the way. So if you're here and you say, well, my parents, they're not the spiritual examples they should be. And my parents don't encourage me in the things of God. And my parents don't challenge me to grow in my Christian walk. By the way, young people, that's no excuse. Josiah didn't have any of that either. His dad had been murdered in his own house. And at age 16, the Bible says Josiah got serious about knowing God while he was yet young. You want to live lifelong Christianity? A great way to do it is to get a great head start in your youth. Bible reading and prayer and Bible memory and service and giving and involvement in the local church. And then I see the next phase of life. So he says in verse 17, "Oh God, thou hast taught me from my," verse 17, "thou hast taught me from my" what? "From my youth." And then notice the next two words. "And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." I wrote down here middle age. I believe the psalmist is speaking because in a minute he's going to say, "when I get old." So I believe he's what we would call middle age. He says, "you taught me from my youth and hitherto," since then. Ever since I got that good solid foundation spiritually in my youth, "hitherto," notice what he says, "and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." Since my youth until now, I have declared thy wondrous works. I haven't stopped talking about what I learned in my youth. I haven't stopped growing in my love for you. God, I want to give you my best years. Here's the thing, somebody once said, how did they say it? The thing about youth is that it's wasted on the young, right? I think something like that. But with youth, they have the gift of strength. In old age, we have the gift of wisdom. And the Bible says that the strength begins to fail. Youth, we're simple. We don't have a whole lot of life experience. We don't have a whole lot of wisdom, but we have a lot of strength. Middle age, I would say, we have hopefully, if we've tried to grow in God, we have a good measure of both. I don't know what middle age is, but I would say that before what we would consider maybe your elderly years, you have what might be considered the prime of your life. We'll call it that sometimes in those middle age. And if we're not careful, sometimes it's very easy to get distracted in those years of what we might call the prime of our life, where we have a good measure of strength and wisdom. We use those and we're tempted to put other things first. Sometimes we'll make our careers our first priority, or we'll make hobbies our first priority. We'll make personal gain and development our first priority. And we ought to give God our best years, but we ought to give God all of our years. Our neighbor, he's a nice man, his name is Bob, over in Irvine here. He's lived there for many years. He's a retired police officer, but he's in very good shape. He's young. I think he's probably in his 50s. I don't think he's maybe early 50s is my guess. But he's retired. And very kind to our family. He'll drop off. He's dropped off tamales to us and different things. And you know, he's in the back. He has our backyards butt up against each other. If you've been in our backyard, it's a small wall. You can see over to his yard. He can see over to ours. And our kids are back there jumping in the trampoline and fighting all the time. And so he gets to know our family pretty well back there. And Bobby, when he first moved in, he brought me a business card. And he gave it to me. He had his name on there. And he began to talk to me. And his entire life. And again, I like the man. I'm not saying this to be necessarily critical, but to learn from this, his entire life is consumed with two things. He has a business card made up about it. It's how important it is. He travels the world in search of good food and fine wine. Now, I'm not against good food. Maybe not for fine wine, but, you know, I'm not against travel. But they'll be gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. And I'm not against that. I enjoy family time and vacation and that sort of thing. But there is no, and I've talked to him about it. I've asked him what he's involved in. There's no church. There's no outward. And I look and I say, for me, in what God's called me to, and if he doesn't know Christ, it's not his fault. He doesn't know the Bible. It's my job. God's put me there to try to love him, to try to reach him. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't know these things either without Scripture. But I look and I say, in the long scheme of things, and I love good food, I love to try nice restaurants, I love to travel and see things, but his entire life, that's what he gives all his energy and all his resources and all his finances to, is just going to the next place to find the next good wine and the next good food. And I would say, what we see here, "hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." In our lives, we ought to give our best years to God. In the early years, get a good foundation. And sometimes we see the importance there. And we say, I've got to get my kids to church. And I'm going to get my kids to Sunday school. And I'm going to get my kids in a Christian school. I want my kids to get a good foundation. And then sometimes in the later years, we get there and we kind of realize what really matters. And we say, I want to get back to God. But sometimes in these, what we would call our prime years, our middle age years, we get distracted by all kinds of things, and God can kind of take a back burner. The psalmist here says, you taught me, God, from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy works. I haven't stopped living for you. I'm going to live for you for a lifetime. In our middle age, if that's where you find yourself, Stay faithful to God's word. Stay faithful to God's house. Faithful to give of your time, your talent, your treasure to God and to others while you have them in our lives. Let's seek to use the resources of life and of strength and of even finances and whatever it is, talents that God gives us. Don't just use them for our personal gain. Use them for his glory. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And then lastly, lifelong Christianity, we see old age. Verse number 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, I love this verse. Oh God, forsake me not. Notice what he says. God, don't let me die. Don't leave me alone. Notice what he says. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to God. Sometimes, if we're not careful, I don't believe this to be true, but senior saints, those that might be in the last chapter of their life, however long that chapter might be, and none of us know how long God's going to give us to live, but sometimes they can get the feeling that life has passed them by. I'm not really needed down there at the church. It's time for the young people to do that. Nobody really cares what I have to say. May I say, the Bible says exactly the opposite. The older you get, the more you have to say. The older you get, the more you have to give. The older you get, the more you have to influence and invest. And don't get the idea, and I'm not against necessarily retirement, but there should never be a retirement from Christianity. You may retire from a career. You and I should never retire from Christianity. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. What are we doing? We're giving God whatever strength we have and whatever life we have until God calls us home in whatever ways we can make a difference. There are people in our church that I would consider maybe senior citizens by the American definition that are involved in children's ministries, and they're involved, and we have a ministry here that most people in our church wouldn't even know about, and folks get together and they put cards together and they write words of encouragement and put a gospel witness in a card and mail it from the phone book. They go find addresses and put current resident, and people get in their mail. Who knows what God's going to do with those seeds, but that's, you might be involved as a prayer warrior, you might be involved singing in the choir, serving as an usher, but may I say, as God allows us, if God allows us to get, or maybe he's allowed you already to get to what we would consider old age, yes, it's time for young people to step up and get involved, but it's not time for you to step back. We need you. You have so much to offer this church. Don't sideline yourself. Don't move to the back seat. Teach a class. Mentor a young couple. Sing in the choir. Share what God has taught you. We have people in our church that would be in their 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it might be, as they're getting, and they're still fully and faithfully involved, making a difference. That's what God wants. And so don't get this idea. Again, maybe God will allow you to retire from your career, but don't get this idea, okay, I'll serve and I'll give in the offerings and I'll pray for the missionaries. I'll do that, but once I retire, then I'm just going to kind of enjoy life for me. Oh no, what did he say? I love it. He said, oh God, when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not. And here's what he says, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. What did he say? God hasn't called me home. I want to tell another generation who God is. I want to share Christ with another generation. I want to talk about how strong he is and how good he is. In this passage, I see four generations. I see you've taught me from my youth. I see hitherto, middle age. I see old and gray-headed. And then I see the generation that is to come. He says, not only do I want to show this generation, I want to show the ones that are to come, the fourth generation. By the way, we see that in 2 Timothy as well. The things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful witnesses who shall be able to teach others also. Biblical Christianity, a biblical New Testament church, is supposed to be a generational church. I love the fact that we have kids in an infant nursery right now. And we have kids in a toddler nursery. And we have kids in a kindergarten class. And I love the fact that we have elementary age kids sitting in the auditorium here waiting for me to dismiss so they can turn their outline in for that fruit snack. And I love that we have teenagers here. And I love that we have singles here. And we have families. And we have single adults. And we have grandparents. And we have senior citizens. That's the New Testament church. It's supposed to be generational. And by the way, every one of those generations has a part to play. It's one of the dangers of the attractional church model. The attractional church model, if it's not careful, focuses only on the youth and or young families. And their music is kind of directed to that. Their programming is directed to that. Everything is directed to entertaining young people and attracting young families, giving them programs for their kids. And I'm not against programs for kids, but may I say this? That's not a healthy New Testament church if there aren't some gray-haired folks, some older folks, some seasoned senior saints that are there investing in the next generation. We see here four generations, a lifetime of Christianity. In your life and in mine, yes, we need a nursery and a youth group and singles and families and senior saints. And notice what he says as we finish verse number 20, finish this psalm. Verse number 20, he's in his old age here. He's talking, I believe, as he's talking about it. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. The older you get, the more you've been through. You shalt quicken me again. You're gonna give me strength again. And shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 22, I like this. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Again, I believe that's figurative, talking about the days of our lives. Not the TV show, the old soap opera, but the days, that's figurative there. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek thy hurt. What does he say there? He says, my lips shall greatly rejoice. The longer we live, we can learn to sing through the sorrows. There's a depth of praise that comes when you have suffered and endured some things. And may I say this? Younger people need to see that. They need to see a brokenhearted mom, dad, grandma, grandpa staying faithful to God. My lips will praise you even when I have sorrows all around me. We need in our church, we need examples of decades of faithfulness through myriad trials and tribulations. So God's plan, just a simple challenge tonight, but God's plan is lifelong Christianity. Where do you find yourself? In the first years? In the best years? In the last years? Wherever they are, they belong to God. Our first years, our best years, our last years, God wants them all. And there's something to be happening in all of them. If you find yourself in your youth, just get serious about school and get serious about sports. I think you can teach a lot of character and a lot of good principles. And get serious about music and get serious about saving money and learning finance. Get serious about all of those things, but not at the expense of getting serious about God in your youth. Learn what it is to read his word and learn what it is to talk to God. Maybe learn what it is to memorize scripture and to come before God and to ask Brother Ryan or to ask me or to ask a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a question. What does this verse mean? And how do I study this? And I don't understand this word. In your youth, let God teach you. And parents, let us not be guilty of elevating all of these other things that all of the world around us is making the priority in their lives at the expense of making Christ preeminent in our children's lives. And in our family schedules, in our family's lives. Why? Because God's heart, whoever gets there first wins. Let's make sure that we're doing everything we can to allow God to get to our child's heart. To allow God to get a hold of them in their teen years. Why? Because that will set them on a path for lifelong Christianity. And so maybe you find yourself in your youth. Maybe you find yourself in what we would call the broad scope of middle age. What's our job? Hitherto have I declared thy works. When I get older and I have more time, then I'll really start to get involved in the work of God. No. Let's give God our first years, our best years. And maybe you find yourself in what we would consider being a senior citizen. God's not done with you. Don't buy into the lie that this church doesn't need you. Don't buy into the lie that your work is done and it's time for somebody else to do it. I'm thankful, and I mean this very respectfully. Greg and Margaret Park, the only charter members of this church still sitting here. I believe in America you'd be considered senior citizens, your grandparents. And I think they still have a lot of life left in them. If he lives anywhere close to his mom, he has decades left. His mom just went to heaven at age 101. But you know, every time they sit here on a Sunday night, you know what that does to this pastor? It encourages me. Here's something that I realize. They've been members of this church longer than I've been members of this earth. They've been a member of Liberty Baptist Church longer than I've been alive. And yet they come back for a second service on a Sunday night. What's happening there? There's somebody that's saying, I'm going to be faithful unto death. And there are other young people that are looking and saying, that's what you're supposed to do through every stage of life. God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength to another generation. God, help me to make a difference in the generation to come, in my old age, in my gray hairs. Lifelong Christianity, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As I studied this psalm this week and read this psalm this week, I was challenged. Sometimes I can get distracted in my own life. I'm the pastor of the church about the right priorities. Sometimes as I lead my children, I can elevate some things that aren't going to have much eternal impact over the things that are. I want my children, if God would allow that, for them in their youth to get serious about God. Yes, knowing him, but also learning of his works. I don't know how this message spoke to you. I hope that it did. But as God spoke to your heart, in just a moment, the piano will play and we'll stand. If you'd like to come forward, maybe you want to pray for your children. Maybe for your grandchildren. Maybe for yourself, that you'll be faithful unto death. Maybe you say, you know what, I've been sitting on the sidelines and I need to get more involved in an area where I can to show the strength of God to another generation. Maybe you're raising children and you say, you know what, we need to change some priorities in our family, in our home, so that our young people will know the priority of God, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Maybe you're a young person and you say, I've just kind of been playing around at this thing of Christianity. Really, it's just I'm here because my parents make me come. Oh no. Learn as the psalmist did, thou hast taught me from my youth. If God has spoken to your heart as the piano plays and we stand together, the altar is open. Let's stand. Rebecca will play a song. We'll spend some time in prayer. If God's spoken to your heart, the altar is open. We'd invite you to come forward and pray. And ask God, would he help all of us to live faithful unto death? Not just in our teen years, not just when we're singles or young married couples, not just when we have young children in the home, not just when we need him because something went wrong, but lifelong Christianity. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. God, help us to stay faithful to you for a lifetime. Help our young people to get a hold of you as young people. In their youth, may they get serious about knowing you, about serving you, about learning of you. May they develop habits of a devotional time, habits of giving, habits of sacrifice for the sake of the gospel in their youth. God, may they see some middle-aged Christians, myself included, that model those things. Lord, I pray that our work wouldn't take preeminence over your work. I pray that our pleasure wouldn't take preeminence over your work. I pray that programs wouldn't take preeminence over your work. But God, we would keep our focus where it belongs. That when we look back, we won't live with a bunch of regrets for how we live selfishly and sinfully. But God, we sought to give you our first years, our best years, and our last years, is my prayer. God, if you would tarry, I pray that you'd let me give decades of those years to service to you here at this wonderful church with these wonderful people. And I pray that many would make a commitment to do the same. I ask these things in your name.